right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, we got a chance for you to rip us off for four passes to the Blackhawks Convention, July 26th through 28th at the Hilton. Woo-hoo! Featuring current players, alumni autographs, photo sessions, exhibits, interactive games. Lauren Lapka, her eyes the size of saucers when walks into that.
It's nothing be so jacks cool. you up more for hockey season than that convention.
Yeah. It is super cool.
Yes, it is. Mm. And Kevin trying to go, no big deal. We're down at Dave's. Kevin, serious, no big deal.
Got my press pass.
Yep,
all access.
Hello, ladies. So you got to come out and see the show out there because it's goofiness on parade.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On a more serious note, we are pleased and proud to be joined by the Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And Superintendent, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And let's talk about how the summer is going.
Well, I tell you, Ro, thanks for having me. It's right now. It's following pretty historical trends, although we are still down a bit, so that's a good sign. We're still, year to date, we're still about close to 10% down in shootings and murders, so that's a good thing. Right. But for the summer months, we're trending slightly below where we were last year, which is also a good thing.
Right. Now, and I know that there's always this reticence to talk about environmental issues here, you know, and weather and things like that and other exogenous circumstances. And obviously, you know, listen, it's obvious that you need you're not going to have people out on the street necessarily interacting with each other and shooting at each other in bad weather. Right. The less of that happens in bad weather. But
right.
Having said that, so I know that there have been, you know, previous occupants in your position and other city officials that go, no, we want to take credit for all of this. I like your attitude about this. You got to look at the big picture.
Right.
And
you do.
So that's good. And that's merciful, I think, in some respects here. But the other piece, and I know you've talked about this a lot, is the use of social media and the way that social media creates problems in neighborhoods. It may be the genesis of a lot of the conflict, and it also is creating this flash mob situation, which we've been seeing for better than a decade here downtown, and some of the beach activity and stuff that we're seeing. What are you guys doing about that?
So we monitor, of course, open source social media events. And, you know, we also have protocols for patrolmen out on the street so that when they see these large gatherings of people, especially in the evening time, there's a protocol in place so that we can address it immediately. Because here's the thing, Ro, as you know, a group of 10 people can turn into 50 to 100 in less than 30 minutes because of social media. So it's highly important that we monitor those things and we keep track of it as best we can. Now, having said that, it's just impossible for us to be able to track everything that goes on social media, especially if it's private.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on that note, Superintendent Johnson, it feels, I know you do have this holistic approach to it. It isn't just police work, it's community work. There are so many factors here. I'd love to hear your reaction to a pretty alarming story about the number of young children being exposed to violence, growing up where violence is normal, and the impact that has on kids year to year. I mean, you see it with police officers. They even deal with seeing so much violence. Imagine a child growing up in that environment and what that does.
I tell you, man, it's tough because, of course, if they're subjected to trauma after trauma after trauma, at some point they're going to become desensitized. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one little quick story. So we were out on patrol one evening on the west side, and there were about 5 shots fired. We were watching these little kids play in the playground, and we stopped there for a moment just to watch them. There was about 5 shots fired from right around the corner. So we saw the little kids instinctively get on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So we went around the corner. We saw the smoke from the gunshots, but nobody was there. So we drove around the block and came back to where those kids were. When we got back, they jumped up and started playing again like nothing had ever happened. Mm. And that's not normal. We don't need our kids to assume that's the normal way of growing up. So we have to do a better job, not just as a city, but as a society, of making sure that these young kids don't grow up in situations like that. Because, listen, their minds aren't fully developed. And if they become desensitized, you know, before the age of 10, then what are we looking at when they turn 15 or 16
right.
years old?
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's and this has been a generational issue, though, right? I mean, we've seen generation Correct. After generation after generation. You know, we've talked about this before. There have always been these hallmark moments in Chicago history
yep.
where you think this will be it. This will be the thing where everything changes. You know, there was the Benji Wilson shooting in the 1980s.
Right.
And, yep. you know, and others, you know, the young boy who was killed on the bus, on the CTA bus. His name now escapes me. His parents worked in the city government. And you know that you get moments. Hedia Pendleton is another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know right. you get and you think this will be it. This will be the moment where things will change, and they don't. And it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of social service agencies trying to get involved, or Chicago Police Department trying to do their job, or you know. And thank God the Chicago Fire Department does the job as well as they do their job.
Right.
But it just we're not getting to the hearts and the minds of those who grow up in this and think it is okay. This is their only way out. This is their only option.
Right. Right. And you're so right, bro. You know, I think about all these kids, you know, Blair Holt, Tyshawn
right.
Lee, Dantrell Davis. Remember the little kid walking to school,
mm-hmm.
the little 5-year-old walking to school and he gets shot and killed by a sniper. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the things that, listen, when I talk to our faith-based leaders, I tell them all the time, I don't need you to help me with your congregations. I need you to help me with those people that don't come to church. Those are the ones we need to get to and talk to them. And I tell you this, Ro, it all starts at home. You know, we have to do a better job of parenting. And when those parents fall by the wayside, then we need to reach back and try to show them how to be better parents. Because a job as a parent is not to be a kid's friend. It's to be their parent. And when you fall into that other bucket, then you don't discipline them the way that they need to be so that they learn right from wrong. Because some people, honestly, that I talk to out here on the street, they assume morals and values, just kids pick it up. No, somebody has to teach them that stuff.
Right.
You know, so we have to do a better job of just preventing these kids from going down that path in the beginning. Because once they get to be 16 and 17 and they're dead set on that lifestyle, then it's hard to turn them back around.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching a lot of traffic today amongst police officers that were having a lot of fun with the alligator story
mm-hmm.
and Kim Fox letting the alligator go. And, you know, I think there is a sense amongst the officers who are out on the street that they're not getting support from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. What would you say to the young men and women who are under your charge right now about going out and doing their job and making sure that, you know, they still stay on their side and do what they're supposed to be doing?
Right, because it is a fact, you know, the state's attorney's office is partnering with us, you know, in this mission about gun violence. So that part is not up for debate. What I would say to these young men and women that are out here, we have a job to do, and that's to serve and protect this city. We can't worry about the other parts of this puzzle. All we can do is worry about us, because we can't do anything about the things we can't control. But our job is to be the police, enforce the law, de-escalate situations when we can, and then we'll let the rest take care of itself. But as far as our relationship with the state's attorney's office, I still do believe, and I know, that they are partners with us in fighting gun violence. And I think that sometimes things get misconstrued. Now, do we always agree? No. But like I said before, well, it's kind of like a marriage. You know, we're not going to always agree, but at the same time, we
yeah.
We have you know,
Eddie,
I've
been through a few of these, so I know exactly what you're talking about. They don't always end well.
That's right.
You had 196 graduating officers, and then 98 new promotions: chiefs, deputy chiefs, commanders, lieutenant sergeants, and evidence techs. And
right.
Just last week, so congratulations on that. That's. You know,
you're
getting to a number here. Just describe for me for just a second, because, you know, obviously this is something that's really important for the city of Chicago. The young men and women who are coming on the job right now, who want to get on the job, they've been on the list. They've been, you know, some of them have, you know, been doing law enforcement in other places. Some of them come
right.
from other kinds of jobs, but they were waiting to get on. What are you seeing in those faces?
Well, you know what? I see eagerness. I see a willingness to serve their communities. You know, I see curiosity also, you know, so they are eager to be out here and be the change. And that's important because we have to police differently than we did 5 and even 10 years ago. What I will say, though, is for me and my command staff, it's important that we give them the resources and the training necessary so that they can do what we need them to do in these neighborhoods. Because what we are seeing is, because we're getting a lot of candidates from outside of the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, we have to do as well as we can in terms of indoctrinating them to the neighborhoods they're going to right. serve. Because, you know, when you don't understand certain cultures, you tend to resist it. So we just have to do better in getting them in there before they actually start their street duty, so they can understand those communities better.
What's interesting, I think this is fascinating, 68% of those who are coming on the job mm-hmm. in this graduating class are minority. 44% are Hispanic.
Right.
Yeah, that's been a trend, right, over the last number of yep. years. But that is a pretty that's a pretty impressive thing. I mean, 16% African American and 8% Asian. It's
right.
It's interesting how the face of the Chicago Police Department is changing.
It is, and you know, the Hispanics have jumped over African Americans in terms of being the number two population on the police department. And so, you know, we although we have made some gains in terms of African Americans come on the job, we just have to do better. And you know, part of it is the mistrust yeah. and the fact that they, you know, they don't trust the police department. But when I go out in the community, I always remind them of this: you can't talk about change and not be willing to be part of it. You can't wait for someone else to change things for you. So the quickest way to get the change that they're looking for is for more African Americans to come on the job and help be that change. So, you know, because the city is a third, a third, a third in terms of
right.
mm-hmm. whites, blacks, and Hispanics. And I firmly believe the police department should reflect that diversity. You know, so we've had, since I've been superintendent, a very robust recruiting campaign in the minority neighborhoods. Now, the Hispanics have really caught fire in terms of coming on to the job. But one of the things that's hurting us also is that, you know, we had a real big hiring wave in the early 90s, and now a lot of those African-American officers are retiring.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
our numbers, obviously, are going to go down. So I just appeal to the, you know, African-American community, be part of that change. You just can't talk about it. You got to be willing to be part of it.
On that note, Superintendent Johnson, what do you tell new recruits who say, we go out in the community and nobody respects us? And I understand that police have to help build that bridge as well, and that's what you're talking about, be a part of the change, you know, you want to see in those communities.
Right.
But what do you do when you are no longer respected at all, no matter what color you are, in those communities?
Right. Now, what I will say is this. You know, I've seen the relationships between minorities and police officers worse than it is now. The difference is you have social media and 24-hour news cycles that talk about it more. But when I was a street cop, man, it was terrible. But what I will say is that the level of disrespect is worse now than it used to be. Now, having said that, I will say this. In those neighborhoods where this is occurring, the majority of those people still respect the police. It's just that the ones that disrespect the police have now feel emboldened
right.
to do whatever they want to do. You know, and part of that is the national narrative, anti-police narrative. Part of it is they don't fear our judicial system like they should, you know, and I tell folks all the time, especially with young men, it doesn't matter what group they come from, but Ro, you and I were both young men once before too, and we both know when we were 16 and 17,
yes.
if we didn't think there was a certainty of a consequence for doing something,
right.
we would do it. And that's what we have to do a better job on.
And when a police officer told us to do something, believe me, your heart
yes.
raced,
that's,
right?
That's
when
exactly
you were,
right.
When you were coming into contact with a Chicago police officer.
You were scared, right?
A couple times I ran
yep.
into, I had moments
right.
where I was, you know,
uh-huh.
In contact with Chicago police.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, whatever. You know, it's funny because
yep.
you watch, you know, you've seen some of these, there's one of these videos that just went viral over the weekend of a traffic stop at a gas station, another guy gets involved, and it's like, and everybody, the thing is, people are pulling out their phones, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yep.
it's one thing,
yep.
and that's scary for police officers, too, because when you see something being pulled out, you're not exactly sure what it is, then all of a sudden the phone gets pulled out, and then that somehow becomes like a secret veil weapon. right? Like, well, yeah. I'm going to record yeah. this so that no matter what happens here, no matter how anybody acts, we're going to get off because, you know, the society or, you know, the criminal justice system won't want to deal with this because policing is a tough business. Sometimes you got to put hands on people to get control of them because you're not going to let people run away from you, right?
Right. So, that's exactly right.
Go ahead.
I tell you, no cop anywhere in this country, they don't want to be the next viral video. Let's face it, they don't. And, you know, that's why I always encourage them, rely on your training. Remember de-escalation techniques. But if someone takes you there, then you have to be ready to be the police at the same time. You know, so it's a balancing act, and it's a very slippery slope. Because let's face it, these are our careers. We all have families to take care of, and we don't want to be that next cop that gets in trouble, you know, to that level. And I'm sure that's always in the back of their minds.
For sure.
You know, so it's tough. Being a police officer is a tough job. Maybe the job that might be tougher is being a step-parent. That's always questioned, you know. But it's a tough job, you know. And I applaud the folks around the Chicagoland area who are still willing to step up and be part of that change because we desperately need them.
Superintendent, thank you so much, as always, for being
thank
with
you.
Us. Superintendent Eddie Johnson, Chicago Police Department. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Norman. Thank you.